62,000 Anzacs died in First World War. But what is less known is that almost one third of that number are still missing. In fact, to quote my next guest, they were consigned to a suspended state. No name, no body, no burial, no mourning. Entombed in uncertainty. Those are the words of Scott Bennett, and his new book is called The Nameless Names. It's being released this month to mark the 100th anniversary of the armistice, which falls this Sunday on the 11th of November. Scott Bennett, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
The number of Anzacs officially listed as missing, around 23,000, is extraordinarily high. Why are so many soldiers just missing?
Fran, there was a number of factors. If you think about Gallipoli in 1915, when the soldiers landed, they advanced and then were pushed back by the Turks. So a lot of soldiers that were killed were left in no man's land. If you think about Belgium and France in 1916, 17, 18, those battles were fought with significant amounts of artillery. So and significant numbers of soldiers and attacks. So again, same thing, you would have soldiers who would advance, be killed in no man's land. Shelling would just churn bodies over. Mm. Bodies would be buried expediently, and there wasn't a lot of focus put on identifying those soldiers. Or
they would be on the point of identification by the sounds of it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So again, you know, artillery, thousands of pieces lined up, yard by yard, that just churned over the battlefield. So, as you said, by the end of the war, there was, you know, tens of thousands of Australians that were either unrecovered or unidentified.
At the time, the Australian government pledged to recover the missing, or at least find out what had happened to them. Now, given the scale of the horror and the death that you described, that was always going to be a challenge. How much effort have you researched this? How much effort was put into the recovery of the remains or other investigations to identify these men?
So the British Empire put significant resources into that. 15,000 British Empire soldiers remained after the war, and around 1,000 Australian soldiers who basically searched the area around Villers Bretonneux. So virtually just staked out the area and yard by yard, aimed to recover those bodies. Now, what was interesting, that continued on for around 5 months, and then the Australians scaled back their operation, and then it was transferred to the British, that didn't have, you know, the same kinship or ownership of the Australians. So, you know, there was some shoddy practices where, sometimes, parts of bodies were buried, rubbish was put into bags and treated as bodies. So that affected the ability to actually identify soldiers. And as we said earlier, you know, some of the bodies had been on Gallipoli or in France for 3 or 4 years and were well past the ability to actually identify them.
This is the price of war, and you know that if you visit, of course, any of the war cemeteries over there, Villers Bretonneux, at a huge Australian cemetery, so many of the graves read simply just "A Soldier of the Great War, Known Unto God." As I say, it's inevitable price of war, isn't it, that there will be some soldiers who are killed in by artillery that will be beyond recognition. There's not much a government can do necessarily about some of this.
You're right. I suppose my point would be the Australian soldiers could have remained longer. And again, if they find another 100 bodies, another 1,000 bodies, another 2,000 bodies, that's parents that are taken out of that grieving process and can actually find out what happened to their sons. A fact, when the Imperial War Graves completed their searches, or the registration units, I think between 1921 and 1939, 38,000 more bodies were found. There was Australians that were over in Europe at the time when the search was called off, and there were still bodies that were openly exposed. So, there was a lot of conjecture that it was prematurely called off.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 19 minutes to 7. Our guest is Scott Bennett, author of The Nameless Names, Recovering the Missing Anzacs. Scott, in your book, you trace three families who have not never recovered their loved ones. One of them is a story of Mordaunt Reid and his wife Pauline. What is it about this story that struck a chord with you?
Pauline and Mordaunt lived in Coolgardie, so in Western Australia. And what was interesting with this is Mordaunt disappeared on the first day of Gallipoli, 25th of April, 1915. And if you look at his wife, Pauline, she received news about a month later that he was wounded. Now, he was actually left behind the lines as his fellow soldiers retreated. Now, Pauline, obviously overcome with grief, she actually travelled because she couldn't get any news. She put newspaper advertisements. She tried to contact hospitals. She actually travelled to Cairo so she could try and get more information on Mordaunt. She never gave up hope. She received conflicting reports that he was a prisoner, that he was dead, that he was wounded, paralysed in hospital. And then after that, after Gallipoli, she actually travelled to London and she started working with the Prisoners of War Department, again, just to help other families like herself that were, you know, caught between, you know, hanging on and letting go. Mm. And she maintained hope, you know, throughout the war, you know, right through to 1918 when the war ended, that was a faint hope that Mordaunt was still alive. So, you know, 4 to 5 years of just being caught, you know, between, you know, hanging on and letting go, that uncertainty, you know, not being able to move on.
The search goes on and, you know, there's still DNA searches now linked to the Western Front. And in fact, in your story, one of the unfinished stories, you look at Private Ray Flume, whose remains have been identified. But what is the point of these stories you're telling? Is it the fact that that these people are, these soldiers are never found, that has a lasting impact on their families in future generations?
Yes, Fran, I interviewed many of the families. I interviewed people who were still alive, relatives who were still alive. And for them, it is unfinished business. You know, I interviewed 95-year-old Cherie Elliott. And, you know, she still remembers as a child, you know, praying for her uncles that had disappeared, praying that there wouldn't be another war. In the case of Ray Flom, you know, there's still relatives alive, and for them, it was actually finding out what happened. And, you know, Jeffrey Baker, who is related to Ray, you know, for him, you know, Ray being found, he remembered his mother's grief, you know, his mother Helen's grief, and for him, it was getting closure. And, you know, the thing that Jeffrey said is that, you know, if he had one regret, it was his mother still wasn't alive to see that her brother Ray had actually been found. So yeah. That pain may not be as intense as it was in 1920 or 1919, but there's still families that have unanswered questions.
Okay. Scott Bennett, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Scott Bennett, the author of The Nameless Names, Recovering the Missing Anzacs.